live from the Gene Langan Volkswagen of Glastonbury Studios, this is the Rob Dibble Show.
And they're trying to hold Dibble back. Somebody's got Dibble.
Oh, Samwell hit Charlton.
Bill Robinson hit Dibble.
This could get out of hand, I'm telling you. This one could get out of hand.
It's out of hand.
You don't want to be treated like a man.
Talk me like a man.
So, what's coming up on today's program?
The fact that this happened as quickly as it did before 8 a.m. Eastern this morning, Steve Cohen turning around and firing Jared Porter. It was honestly a little quicker than I anticipated. Around baseball last night, especially inside of the Mets, when the story dropped, it was even worse, I think, than they were anticipating. And that's understandable. When you look at this, it's not just the fact that he sent unsolicited lewd images. It's the fact that he did so after the woman had not responded to 60 plus messages from him previously. Here we
go! Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Rob Dibble.
Getting some breaking news here, and we're trying to try to confirm a couple different sources. Hall of Fame pitcher Don Sutton, good guy. Actually, I followed him to the Nationals and replaced him, and he was allowed to go to Atlanta. That was part of the deal, that when I took the job, that he would go back to Atlanta and he would take over the radio position there. So, that's awful. So Hall of Famer and pitching great Don Sutton has passed away at the age of 75. And as more of this unfolds, we'll kind of get into that. But let's talk about some of the hot stove stuff that we were going to talk about, because, you know, the general manager that it looked like the Mets had found a new owner, a new president in Sandy Alderson, and a new general manager in this Jared Porter. And, you know, just a few weeks into his tenure, he is let go because of some sexual harassment stuff that had gone on a few years ago. I think it was 2016 when this stuff had gone on. And it's kind of infuriated the new owner, because he's in the process of trying to build a championship team. And it's derailed now with some really bad publicity to the point where, you know, listen, we have a zero tolerance policy here. You know, I'm going to have, you know, decent people that work for the Mets organization. This is something that you and I have talked about since we started working together. The Wilpons were not the best of owners. And I'm not just saying, you know, they were involved in anything nefarious. What I'm saying is they were just not good owners. You finally have a guy that comes in. He's a multi-billionaire. It looks like things are going down the right way. And then all of a sudden the train gets derailed by the guy you brought in as your general manager. It's kind of unfortunate. But in my mind, it's kind of a good thing for Steve Cohen to have to get his hands dirty 74 days into his tenure, that, listen, there's no zero tolerance here. The next person we hire, we're going to have to vet him out a little bit better than we did this last guy. This is something that happens, and it could have happened with even the Carlos Beltran thing, which happened under the Wilpons' watch, or the Alex Cora. And it kind of goes to the heart of what we've talked about with the Red Sox bringing Alex Cora back. You know, to what extent are you willing to go down this road of morality? You know, I remember because John Mozeliak, the president of the Cardinals, said this when they signed Johnny Peralta, who was involved in the Biogenesis thing. We're not the morality police. Well, yeah, but he's not a good guy. And you just gave him $54 million contract to not a good guy. That's not a good PR look for a franchise like the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, 2021, we're here starting in January, and it's like, listen, you know, this is going to happen to most major corporations, businesses, whether it's in sports or in regular business. It's 2021. You need to vet out your employees, and you certainly need to vet out a guy who's going to be in charge of all of your employees that are on the field.
Sandy Alderson has come out and said they will not be hiring a GM. What does that mean? As far
he's
as
running the show,
it seems like that's
they're embarrassed.
It seems like that's in good hands, though, and it seems like they can be.
But he's battled cancer. He's an older gentleman.
Good point.
And he's a former Marine, fought in Vietnam. I mean, you name it. Sandy Alderson's been in it. He's been on the MLB side. He's worked on the MLB for years. And it kind of reminds me of Frank Robinson. When Frank Robinson was working for MLB and Montreal was going through a whole bunch of crap, and they're like, Bud Selig said, Frank, I want you to go manage the Expos. And Frank Robinson's like in his 70s and goes, I don't want to do that. But he was kind of forced to do that. This is like Sandy Alderson was like, you know, you're trying to survive cancer, and then they bring you back and they're like, okay, it's like what, The Godfather 2 or The Godfather 3? You're like, I was out, and then they just pulled me back in. You know, poor Sandy's like, you know, I want to delegate some authority to someone else. This guy screws it up and is like, yeah, you're not going to get that guy underneath you now that you thought you were going to get. Sandy, I want you to run this. So honestly, I think they should go out and get, and I'm not saying this because of Me Too or anything, get a female general manager. Get a Kim Ng. There's enough females that are as smart and savvy as Kim Ng that would love a shot at the general manager's job. I'm sure there's assistant general managers throughout Major League Baseball right now at some level. Bring someone in and vet them out and just let them take a shot at this position. Because if Sandy's overseeing whoever it's going to be, I don't think he's going to allow them to screw it up.
I think Sandy would be a good one to have, though, if you're still trying to make that push for Springer and trying to put him in the center field.
Well, I think they got too many things on the stove, on the burners. You know, that's a front burner operation right there. George Springer, Trevor Bauer, Real Muto, whoever you're trying to bring in right now. It's like, geez, I don't really want to try to vet out a general manager right now.
Right.
You know, I'd really like to get some of these deals. And I'm sure Steve Cohen's saying, listen, dude, we've got – and I'm not privy to this, but let's just say George Springer. It's a $180 million deal right now that's about to be signed or not signed. We can't afford to screw this up, you know, because that guy was a screw-up.
Somebody got signed over the weekend while we were gone. After 25 pitches of work, Corey Kluber finds himself in pinstripes. 1 year, $11 million. I don't know what kind of Corey Kluber you're going to get, but a pitcher nonetheless, something in the need category for the New York Yankees.
Why would you bring back Tanaka is my first thought with that. Right?
Yeah.
You know all of his medical issues. You've been through them. And my God, that guy's been a performer. He's been amazing at his job. This is no disrespect to Corey Kluber. Love him. But you've been away for 2 years. You've been injured. You were only able to really throw and showcase 30 pitches.
One year, $11 million, though? Is that a
no? That's worth the nothing venture, nothing gain kind of category, and the Yankees have that kind of dough to do that. But I think there's a lot of guys that could use that opportunity. But this must be, listen, Aaron Boone's probably got a good relationship with Corey Kluber. I doubt the pitching coach that came out of high school that the Yankees hired has a big relationship with Corey Kluber. This is more of a Brian Cashman is saying, listen, if we can fix this guy, it's a huge bonus. If not, I mean, the Yankees ate $43 million on Kiyagawa years ago, and you could look it up. The dude never pitched for them. And I think they signed him for 3 years or 4 years for $43 million out of Japan. A lot of people would love to forget that name. I don't. So this is a project that is certainly worthwhile if it comes out and pays dividends for them.
I did not get the final DJ LeMahieu numbers. If you missed it,
I think it's 6 years,
well,
$90 million.
6 years, $90 million. That seems pretty right there, man. I don't know as far as any other negotiations if who else was in the running for that, but DJ LeMahieu will stay a Yankee and keep that batting average in the lineup. I think that was the thing that the Yankees had to do. We've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah, listen, he wanted to go back to the Yankees. That's why when you asked me last week whether or not he would stay a Yankee, I said yes. I think, Listen, these guys will take less money to stay on teams. I remember when Johnny Damon was going between the Red Sox and the Yankees, called Terry Francona and said, Terry, this is where I'm at with the Yankees. If we can get close with the Red Sox, I want to go back to the Red Sox, and the Red Sox wouldn't budge on an extra year and $10 million more. This is a very good deal for the Yankees. He's a very versatile player. If you have to move him over to third base, if you had to put him at first base, he's capable of playing Gold Glove defense anywhere. And so I'm sure that he's happy that you gave him 6 years, $90 million. If he already has a house or he's wanted to buy a house in New Jersey, he can do that. And wherever he's from, he can do that. But he wanted to play with the Yankees. I think that's probably a lot of team. If it's like the Lakers or if it's the Celtics or if it's one of those teams and I take a little bit less money, I think that'll come out later and somebody probably offered him over $100 million like to go to Toronto. I think that's why the sixth year. I heard 4 years that he was it was 4 years and whatever amount of money, and now it gets bumped up to 6 years and $90 million and 15 per. I mean, the big thing with that deal is that for him. Is that it's a team-friendly salary-wise because of the salary and the luxury tax that they want to stay under the $210 million. So that helps them if they're going after Trevor Bauer and they're going to probably have to overpay at like 30, 35 for 5, 6, or 7 years. I think this deal helps Bauer, helps Real Muto, helps anybody else get extra time added onto their contract.
What's next? What do the Yankees need to do?
Any pitching, they just got Kluber, but that's not enough.
Yeah,
the 3/5 of their rotation is out on the free agent market right now. I could see one of them coming back. I don't know if they even want Paxton or Happ back or Tanaka, but they certainly, Trevor Bauer is the big fish right now that I think they need to land.
What about this CJ Chatham? Is that a deal, him going to the Phillies, Gallo?
It's not a big deal as in he's going to the Phillies. It is a big deal as he was on the 40-man roster, and they had to take him off because Dustin Pedroia is still on the 40-man roster.
Wait, that Dustin Pedroia?
Yeah, so this is why this is a big deal. Now they're moving. He was at one point like one of their top prospects. I think he was number 12 as of now. But for them to be moving prospects to keep a 40-man spot for Dustin Pedroia, wow. I saw a lot of hate on Twitter last night from Red Sox fans.
They have no options, though.
Yeah.
He's under a huge contract last year. What is it, $15 million?
Yeah, something like
that. They still owe him. And it's part of your no trade or the contract that you had in there that he has to be a part of the 40-man roster. He could be on the disabled list, but you can't knock him off the roster to protect this kid. And it's unfortunate. But listen, you wanted to win championships a few years ago. That's why you paid him the money.
Well, the reason I bring it up is I did see some reports. I don't know how accurate these are. That there was talk of Pedroia possibly announcing a retirement. But until that happens, he's taken up a 40-man spot, and he supposedly says he doesn't think he's going to play again this year.
Man, so where do we leave off with him? High single A? Isn't that where we left off, like 2 weeks of high single A 2 years ago?
$12 million, by the way. They owe him $12 million for 21.
He did make he did play in an MLB game. Like, he had two games in one season. I believe it was 2019. He had two games.
37 years old.
8 years, $110 million back. It started in 2014. That's why, now, all right, let's talk 2021. You're DJ LeMahieu. And after 4 years, something happens and they can't fix it. And they've got two more years guaranteed. It's a good thing, bad thing when you're in Major League Baseball as a player. It's a great thing because as soon as you sign, you're getting your money.
Right.
The problem here in the last couple of years with Pedroia is that the club would love you to retire or take some kind of buyout. And, at the same time, if I was in the player representative world or with the Players Association, absolutely do not do that. Because you can't give the team leverage, and that's what they're looking for. And so now this Chatham. Now they could probably move somebody else to do it, but they, Chaim Bloom is not wanting to part with somebody else. And, but you're trying to trade Benintendi, right? You're trying to re-sign Bradley Jr., JBJ. So, a lot of things that are involved right now, and it's just like you said, you'd love Dustin Pedroia to sacrifice something right here. He doesn't have to sacrifice anything from where I'm sitting.
No, I get that. I totally do. And I've always loved Pedroia. I still do love Pedroia. I am just worried that this is going to start tarnishing his reputation in Boston. Like, 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road, we're going to look back and be like, I love Dustin Pedroia. But remember those last 4 years?
Maybe. Most people remember the World Series, man.
Yep. I absolutely will. I'll never forget 2007 Rookie of the Year, followed by 2008 AL MVP.
I mean, a lot of people don't know, unless you're a super uber baseball fan, like most Red Sox fans are. Most people don't even know he's still on the team.
Yeah, what I do know is that Alex Cora didn't want him around a couple years ago and sent him out of the locker room in spring training. That's what I will remember. So it's hard for me as someone who I do know when you're an aging superstar, it's tough to be that guy. And Dustin, I'm sure, wasn't trying to disrupt the groove that Alex Cora was trying to be in after, where he was. And ultimately, he would win a championship that year. But Dustin Pedroia is just trying to do what's right for Dustin Pedroia. And, you know, that's probably why at this point when they bring back Alex Cora and then go, hey, by the way, could you retire? We'll pay you the $12 million. But, you know, retire and give up that 40-man roster spot, that's probably why you're getting him to be a little bit standoffish at this point because the way he was treated by Alex Cora a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like a, hey, maybe I'll, you know, coach or something, right? Can I be on the coaching staff?
That ain't going to happen.
Well, if that's not going to happen, I'm not going anywhere. Give me $12 million.
Can you put me upstairs with Veritech as a assistant to the owner?
That would be great.
That would be great. I mean, if that works out, then that would be what I would say. Hey, all right, we'll do like a 5-year assistant to the GM or the owner, and we'll chop up your $12 million that way. I mean, that's if they're smart, they're doing something like that. If not, hey, mate, Dustin holds the cards right now.
I also just wanted to correct myself real quick. 2018, he played 3 games. 2019, he played 6. So we've got 9 games in the last 3 years.
Woohoo!
What's that average? Good work if you could get it.
Are you hitting it like what? Over 2?
He hit .091 in 2018 and hit .100 last year.
Yeah, they were regrowing cartilage in the poor man's knee. He was a science experiment at that point.
It used to not be a charity case, and it feels like it's a big charity case over there for Dustin.
Yeah. It is what it is, man. It's a deal that you make to win championships or to pay players for their best days are behind them. And it's a very difficult proposition that the owners have hated the players in Major League Baseball for years because of. And there's still, you call it dead money. I agree. It's dead money. It's something that, you know, this guy, gave everything he could to the Red Sox. See, there's a thing that quickly pops into my head. I remember when I think he broke his ankle or he had ankle surgery or some kind of surgery, and he's on his hands and knees taking ground balls in the infield at Fenway. It just will always stick out in my mind. That's how much he loved playing
baseball.
He loves baseball. Yeah. And I think that became tarnished with him with the whole Alex Cora saga. Had that not happened, he probably would be like, hey, you could take your $12 million, I'll leave. Maybe if you have a job, you could give me a job. If I wanted one, I don't know. I don't know any of those particulars. But that's what hardens people. And where you're like, listen, I'm not going to help you now. 2 years ago, you kicked me out of the locker room in spring training. Now you come to me and you're like, hey, you know, do the right thing, man. No. And then after the articles on Terry Francona when he was leaving and the Theo Epstein stuff, if I'm Pedroia and I'm a friend of his, I'm like, dude, sit on that $12 million in that roster spot as long as you can.
I heard a great quote from Steve Smith Sr., old Carolina Panther wide receiver. He said this weekend that you get contracts for potential. You get jobs because people know you can do it. And that was so true. Like, you get drafted, you get that big contract because they think you're going to be good. You get that next contract because they know you're going to be good, but you can be even better. After that, it's a one-year kind of deal. Now, that's football. You know, that's a different animal compared to what baseball is, especially when the market is the way the market is at this moment. You never know what the future is going to be. Even old Garrett Cole could step on an ice pick tomorrow and be out forever, and they're still going to have to owe him $300+ million.
Does it have to be an ice pick?
This thing is something that would really put him out.
That seems kind of painful. By the way, John Lester, former Red Sox great, Cubs great, won championships in both cities. Yeah. He is headed to Washington to play with the Nats, the Nationals, and his good buddy Dave Martinez, who used to be the bench coach with the Cubs. Very good relationship over there with that whole team. And so they get a very experienced lefty that can't throw to first base in their rotation for the Nationals.
Joining Kyle Schorber as well. it's like a
Schwarbs
mini Cubs team over there. They're getting all my faves.
I want to hear less. I want to hear it come from Lester's lips that Juan Soto is the best hitter in baseball.
No,
why don't you start throwing Cubs under the bus, John?
He'll say Max Scherzer is the best pitcher. That's how it goes. You know, Schwarber talks about the hitters. Lester will talk about the pitchers. I was telling you, Trey Turner's probably mad because that takes about six or seven stolen bases away from him. So he's service, but it's a good 12 to 15 wins, maybe even 18. You never know what you're going to get, but he's still a great starting pitcher. And if it's just him and the batter, he's pretty damn good.
By the way, pending a physical, Tyler Chatwood has signed a one-year, $3 million deal with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, another Cub there. Thanks for bringing that up. Yep. I think we have Kyle Hendricks, and that is it. Oh, wait, I forgot. Closer still, Craig Kimbrell, the Scarecrow.
Ooh, I hate that. He had massive control problems and pushed him to the bullpen in 2019. Oof, I've been there, done that.